Morning. The topic of this morning's shiur is regarding refuah on Shabbos, which means the laws of taking medicine, but what's entitled here therapy and exercise, what the heterim are and what the limitations are on Shabbos. And this is a very practical topic because, for many people, different medications, different pills, and it also has a very wide-ranging theological implications of Orthodox Jewry in general that you'll understand momentarily. The first page, Issur Refuah Mishum Gzeirah Shchika Samanim. So the Shulchan Aruch states, Mi sheyesh lo mechush ba'alma, hu mischazik v'holech kabori, osur lo laso shum refuah, afilo al yidei einu Yehudi. There are three categories of individuals who are in need of types of refuah. The first category is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, somebody who is in danger of his life and has some type of medical issue that's life-threatening. In that situation, of course, none of these restrictions apply. We are docha Shabbos. We do melachas d'oraisa to save someone's life whose life is in jeopardy. And therefore, the bulk of the shiur will not be referring to these type of individuals because, as we know, pikuach nefesh pushes away the whole Torah. There are halachas of that as well, but that's not the topic of today. Furthermore, an individual who is sick, who is a chola she'ein bo sakana, he's sick, but he's not in jeopardy of his life, perhaps he's bedridden, has a fever, that's called a chola she'ein bo sakana. A chola she'ein bo sakana, or perhaps a limb of his body is at risk. A chola she'ein bo sakana also may take medicine on Shabbos as well. He's bedridden, very, very sick, but not life-threatening. He has a fever, he's in bed. Also, that also has limitations of what you're doing, but in terms of refuah, of giving him medicine on Shabbos, also, that's permissible. So what are we here to talk about? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mi sheyesh lo mechush ba'alma. Means he's not a chola. He's well, but he has some discomfort. Whereas a person, he's round and about, he has a headache. He has some nasal, blockage. Something that normally during the week he would be very apt to take some type of pill or spray or something like that. But he's a bari. He's a healthy person. but Yeshlo Mechush Ba'alma. He has a little bit discomfort. Fumischazek Vaholech, and he's walking around Kibori, like a healthy person. Osur Lasos Lo Shum Refua, Afilo Al Yidei Einu Yehudi. So for this individual, Chazal forbade taking refua, taking medicine, taking any pill. He has a headache, not a major headache, discomfort, some type of discomfort that he has, but he's still functional. He's a bari, he's mischazek v'holech lo. So to this individual, the rabbis forbade taking medicine on Shabbos or doing other types of therapeutic activities, which we'll discuss in the course of the shiur. Gzeira mishum shchiktas samonim, that we know in the time of Chazal, people would make their own medicine in their own homes, or it wouldn't be a mass-produced, manufactured system like we have today. People would take herbs, they would cut them up, they would grind them, and make some type of concoction which was helping for their situation. And therefore, we're afraid if an individual will be allowed to take the medicine on Shabbos, then he might run short and he might come to actually make the medicine on Shabbos and cut up the herbs, which would be one of the 39 prohibitions on Shabbos of tochein, of grinding up things into small pieces, which is one of the 39 prohibitions on Shabbos, which of course has many details as well, but that was the gzeira. If an individual is a chole, he's bedridden, or what some poskim write, some people are really should be bedridden, but they always push themselves, but they're also considered a chole. Even the individual, you know, who's a workaholic, who's going to go into work with 103 temperature or something like that, he's bedridden, even though he's maybe a little bit eccentric and he won't miss a day of work. But he's also, as the post, as Parskin point out, he's a chole. By a chole, even a chole she'ein bo sakana, this halacha does not apply. In other words, Chazal said, go ahead and take the medicine. We're not afraid that you're going to make the medicine on Shabbos, even though his need might be more compelling, but since his situation is more severe, Chachamim did not make the gzeira. They did not make this edict to prohibit it, and certainly a chol sheyesh bo sakana as well. Now, one would be apt to ask the following question. Come on, who in the world today is going to take an aspirin and as a result of taking an aspirin is going to grind some herbs? This seems to be far-fetched and something that is not necessarily in the realm of logic or possibility. However, this is a fundamental point in Yiddishkeit. And that is number two, b'inyan dovrshe b'minyan sarach minyan acher lahatiro. Which means, as Rav Shechter explained, Rav Chaim Noah explains, that there are certain halachic principles that the rabbis enacted many years ago, in the time of the Talmud and other times, and they did it for a certain reason, and the reason might not apply anymore, but yet we are of the opinion, the Chachamim, Chazal, that one could not say that the edict just falls off by itself, unless a Beis Din of that stature or greater will repeal the Gezeirah. And therefore, since in the time of the Talmud, the Mishnah and the Talmud, there was this halacha that a person who is basically a healthy person but has some medical issues that makes them discomfort, Chachamim still say, even though the reason really doesn't apply, because no one is going to go ahead and do that. But still, that's called a davar shebeminyan, meaning something that was voted upon by the rabbis in the time of the Talmud, and therefore it doesn't just wither away because the reason doesn't apply. And I think, and the Gemara in Beitza tells us this, davar shebeminyan chol davar shebeminyan tzarich minyan acher lahatiro. I'll give you one very example that you're all familiar with, that, as Rav Shechter pointed out, is part of the same principle, which I think defines where Orthodox Jewry and other parts of Judaism differ on a very fundamental way. And that is our observance of Yontif Sheni, our observance of 2 days Yontif in Chutz La'aretz, which we all know came about because there were times that people were not able to know in time when Rosh Chodesh was affixed, and therefore they didn't know what was the day, so they weren't sure which day was Yontif. So they had to keep 2 days of Yontif, because was it today, was it yesterday, which day was Rosh Chodesh, and they didn't have sufficient time to be able to let the individuals know that when Rosh Chodesh was. Now, one could make the same claim. Today, everyone knows. I can tell you, I can look at the calendar, I'll know 3 years from now when Rosh Chodesh is, and when Pesach falls out, and when Sukkot falls out. And why is it therefore necessary to keep 2 days of Yontif? But yet, as the Poskim say, as Rav Shechter mentioned, others mentioned, that's called Dover Shebeminyan, meaning it was enacted, and therefore at this point we don't have the Sanhedrin to repeal it. Once, you know, as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, Bez Hashem, and we'll have a Sanhedrin, then maybe things could be reevaluated. But short of that, we don't have the ability to repeal this enactment. And that is, I think, a fundamental point where Orthodoxy and Masorot and our Masorah differs with other people who feel that, hey, other branches of Judaism who feel that, hey, logically it doesn't apply anymore, so let's do away with Yontif Sheni. And we say no, that you still have to keep Yontif Sheni, even though the reason really doesn't apply the way it did when there was really a question of doubt. And therefore, the same thing about medicine on Shabbos, that one is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Again, we're not talking about a person deathly ill. We're not even talking about a person who is a chola she'ein bo sakana, that has a choli that requires him to be bedridden or fever or something like that. We're talking about an individual who's healthy but has some discomfort. He's healthy, he has a headache, etc. He has a little pain in his tooth. He's healthy. He's going around. That individual is forbidden to take medicine on Shabbos or to do anything that is medically aiding to his or her condition, like taking some hot water and which will be heated up obviously from before Shabbos, and gargling it in your mouth for some reason, for some way of getting yourself allayed from that pain. Also, even though, in other words, it's not a question of having a pill versus not having a pill. Even though the reason was that you can't take medicine lest you come to make the medicine on Shabbos, lest you come to grind the herbs on Shabbos, and even though, as we said, no one's going to do that today, that was only the reality in the time of Chazal, yet, that's the concept. As Rav Shechter pointed out, as Rav Chaim Noah, the Poskim point out, it's called a Dover She B'minyan, and therefore it was enacted by the rabbis, and we can't, and it doesn't fall apart unless the rabbis of Gadol or greater in stature could repeal it, and that we don't have that at this point. We don't have a Sanhedrin, and therefore we can't repeal this thing, and therefore we keep Yontif Sheni, and therefore we keep as well this prohibition of taking refuah on Shabbos. And I'll give more examples so it'll be even more clear what exactly is permissible or prohibited. Okay, so take a look on number three. The next, Hachoshesh Bishinov Lo Yigmaba Em Chometz. If a person has a toothache, again, he's not a chole, he's functioning, he's around and about, as we say, and he has some pain in his tooth, he can't take vinegar and gargle it and spit it out. But if he wants to do it in a way that's not noticeable, he can take a piece of challah and dip it in, and in other words, it has to be what's called refuah hanikeris. So if you're having, as we'll see, you have a sore throat, so it's Friday night and you want to have extra chicken soup, that's fine, because that's ochel, that's food. Even though your intent, even though maybe you're not a person who necessarily I'm not a person who necessarily likes hot beverages. I like more, you know, colder beverages. But if I would have a sore throat, so then you're allowed to take tea, you're allowed to take chicken soup, that's fine. Because that's ochel, and it's not, because the fellow sitting to your right, to your left, they're fine, and they're eating it too. So anything that people who have no problem, no ailment whatsoever, are also doing it, so it's not noticeable that it's for refuah, or for allaying your pain, and therefore, it's mutter for everybody. So therefore, but if you're doing something like that only a individual who has this certain condition would do, but a person who didn't have the condition would not do, then it's called a refuah hanikeres, and therefore that would be forbidden on Shabbos. And that's the what it says. Right. So even though it takes away from Onik Shabbos, which obviously it's going to take away from Onik Shabbos, because if I have a headache and if I could take a pill, I'll feel better. But that's what Chachamim enacted. Even though it takes away from Onik Shabbos, again, if you're a chole, if you have fever, you're in bed, you can take all the medicine that you need. If you're a chole she'ein bo sakana, even though there's no sakana, and certainly yesh bo sakana. But again, we're talking about a person who we call a bori, on the number one, we called it mishi yesh lo mechush ba'alma, meaning he has a little bit discomfort, but he's basically hu mischazek v'holech kebori, but he's fine. He's walking around, and it's not just the workaholic. Again, we said, like Rav Harfenis writes, a person you know, some people, they'll have 103 temperature and they're still going to work. You know, they'll never miss a day, no matter what. So they're also cholim. They're also cholim. It was just because you chose not to stay home because you have some whatever, that doesn't say that. So you're still a chola. You're still a chola with that the condition. But basically, again, it's referring to a person who's a bari, who's healthy, who's round and about, but he has some type of discomfort. So then this individual is not able to take refuah on Shabbos. Again, to take a pill, to take some type of gargling that no one would do unless they had some discomfort. Because, again, chicken soup, that's fine. Tea, that's fine. Everyone does that, even if they're not. So it's not noticeable that it's refuah. That Chazal say that's okay for everybody. Yeah, so, right. So if you have a cough as well, that would also be under this prohibition. In other words, if you have a cough, so yeah, you're uncomfortable. You have a cough, but you're fine. You're not bedridden. You don't have a fever. You have a cough. There is discomfort, and it would be nice if you could take it. That is also included in this prohibition of refuah on Shabbos. Now, there is a question in the poskim. What about an individual who's healthy and he doesn't have any discomfort, but he takes vitamins every day to strengthen himself? He takes vitamins every day to strengthen himself, and he's not an individual. He doesn't even have discomfort. He doesn't even have discomfort. He's fine. Is that also under the prohibition of refuah b'Shabbos? So this is a whole discussion on page 6. It's a controversy between the Beis Yosef and the Mogen Avram. The Beis Yosef on the top of page 3 says kol she'eino chola klal mutter. In other words, the Beis Yosef says, if you have nothing wrong with you, meaning you're healthy, you don't have discomfort, and you're just taking pills because you want to, strengthen yourself or whatever, the Beis Yosef says that's okay, but the Magen Avraham and many poskim disagree. Magen Avraham says, Mechush Mutter, so he says, Mutter, Mashmadim Osir Refuah Osir, Afal Pi Shehu Bari. That even if a person who is healthy and he doesn't have mechush, meaning he doesn't have discomfort, but he takes certain pills every day, he takes his vitamins every day, but it's not a food. It's not a food. He's not taking it to fill him up or for purposes of thirst or hunger. So the Magen Avraham says that also would be under the prohibition. So therefore, many poskim hold that vitamins or pills that are taken on Shabbos for just because a person likes to take these pills for the purpose of strengthening themselves or ever, but it's not a food item, that also would be included in this prohibition. Right, so if a person has diabetes, a person has high blood pressure, a person has cholesterol issues, as Rav Abadi pointed out, all these things, as Rav Abadi pointed out, are called cholim. And therefore, as Rav Abadi pointed out, all these things would be permissible to take the pills on Shabbos. Because, again, the Isser does not apply to a chola. to a person who is has some type of condition, that is the high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, as Rabbi pointed out, all these things would be permissible to take the medication, to take a pill on Shabbos. Because again, when it comes to a chola, even a chola she'ein bo sakana, even though there's, it's not that he's going to, you know, a risk of him dying, these things do not, this prohibition does not apply, and therefore would be totally permissible to take these pills for these purposes. To take a pill. Yeah, injections are more difficult. I mean, in other words, that's a question of making a bruise also, and that, you know, he might need a guy to do it or something like that. That has an added factor, and there could be heterim, but that we would have to. That's a separate topic that we're not going to cover. But if someone would have the shiloh, we could discuss it afterwards. But somebody who, again, who needs it for a chola, so from the perspective of medication, it would be okay. We just have to make sure it's also okay from the perspective of making the wound. And if you would have a non-Jew do it, then it would be okay, or something like that. If he doesn't have that, then we would have to look into it more. Right. So Poskim also say that if it's something that you had a strep throat, which is a chola, so you can take the, and you started before, you need to take, as Rav Shechter once mentioned from Rabbi Yom and Zilber, you need to take, say, 10 days worth, and Shabbos is going to be in between, so then that would be permissible, because you could have a relapse of the chola. So you're doing this for a chola. You're not doing it. In other words, again, where we're talking about cases of where there's no chola. This is a chola, and the poskim that would permit that case as well. But the cases that are prohibited are cases, again, the case of the cough that he gave, the case of the. The stuffed nose that supposed to say you want to put some spray in the nose. Again, it's not a chola. It's a person who's basically, in other words, walking around, functioning fine, has some discomfort. That's what it's about. And those are the restrictions. But cases of strep throat and things like that, which would, and sometimes you need the extra days to make sure that it's gone, they're poskim that would permit that, because that is part of a case of a chola. And a chola, again, is not under this, but taking a vitamin, which is not a chola, again, that is, you're just doing it to strengthen yourself. So even though Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he has some leniency for if the pill is really not going to only temporary relief, but most poskim assume that if he's a person who's basically, he's healthy and he either has a minor discomfort or no discomfort at all, and he's taking these things just to, you know, strengthen him more, that most poskim hold that would be under the prohibition. And even in the situation, as this lady pointed out, even in the situation where it would be a little discomfort and he would enjoy Shabbos more if he could take that pill, but that's what Chazal put under there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, we'll see. We'll figure it out. We'll work it out. We'll work it out. Yeah. Again, so things that are chola, if it's something that's a condition, a chola, I would have to know more about the condition that you're talking about. But when it's considered a case of a chola, as I said, all those cases of chola are not bound by these halachas. Okay. Take a look for a second before we go any further. On page 4 for a second, on number 10. And this is a very interesting discussion, number 10. And that is exercise on Shabbos. Exercise, his amlus b'Shabbos. Yeah. Yeah, we'll come back, don't worry. Exercising on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to lo misamlin. Sachinim shal lo misamlin. One is not allowed to exercise on Shabbos. And look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Helshtin mekablim zoroseim lefneim lachareim. Whereas they're moving their arms back and forth. That was Rabbeinu Chananel gives that example. Exercising on Shabbos. And again, let me clarify and explain what we're talking about. But exercise on Shabbos, the Gemara says, is forbidden to exercise on Shabbos because this is also part of the Isser of Refuah. And again, even though there's no physical pill here, there's no thing that you're going to, in other words, as it is, it was hard to understand the concept today with a pill. But here, there's no pill. But Chachamim made across the board a prohibition of exercising on Shabbos because this is called refuah. This is called refuah. Now let me explain. There are individuals who, like Rav Gutman pointed out, who are in rehab, who had strokes or other things that, and they need to exercise. So the poskim, as Rav Gutman pointed out, the poskim say that's okay because that's the person had a limb that was in jeopardy or a sickness, and this is part of the recuperation process of that. So that's also included in the concept that a chola is permissible on Shabbos. So when you have, if you're in rehab, you know, or even you're in physical therapy, and there's certain things that you need to do, move your legs in certain ways because you broke your ankle and you had the fracture, and you need to, and that's what you need to do. So that is not part of this restriction, because as Rav Gutman pointed out, because this is part of the process of healing of a chola, somebody who broke an aver, who had a heart condition or things like that. He needs to exercise because the doctor said he has a heart condition and he needs to to exercise. So that would be permissible on Shabbos. What we're talking about over here is individuals who don't have any condition, but still want to stay healthy, you know. But right now they're fine, and they're not on the brink of anything. But you look in the neighborhood. When I'm going to Shachris, you have people who are, you know, walking swiftly around the block. At you usually have a chevra of a lot of times it's women that are walking, swiftly around the block for health purposes. Hopefully many of them are fine, but they want to continue good health, which is very important to continue good health. But the only question is, are they allowed to do that on Shabbos? So many poskim prohibit doing this on Shabbos. to walk. Again, if you want to take a walk, and Stam, you like to take walks on Shabbos, and you've, but usually the walks that are the ones that are walking in a swift pace. And you, we know, we see people walking at a swift pace, we know that's what they're doing, it's obvious what they're doing, it's not you know, it's, you know, doing it for health reasons, which is very good, but many poskim say that that is prohibited to do on Shabbos. Some, there are some opinions, I don't want to be remiss to say that there are some opinions that say that it's only prohibited if you're doing it to break out in a sweat, and to that degree, but short of that is not prohibited. But many say that even not to break out a sweat, even if you're doing it in a vigorous way, to keep, you know, people who are jogging, or, you know, for health reasons. Again, we're not talking about the individual who just had a heart attack, or just had the, who that the cholim are all permissible. That's all okay. We're talking about, again, individuals who are just doing it to maintain the, as Rav Gutman pointed out, that's similar to the case of the taking the vitamin on Shabbos for the individual who's healthy and doesn't have any pain, but just does it to keep up, to maintain it. So we should do it before Shabbos or after Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. But again, there is an opinion based on the Rambam, or here on page 10, where he writes on the second line, not page 10, number 10 on page 4. The ein mesamlin, second line, b'Shabbos ezo mesamlin zeshadorsei magufa b'koch ad sheyiga v'yaziya. So some say that yaziya, some poskim hold that if it's not yaziya, if it's not breaking out in a sweat, then that would not be part of the prohibition. So some people who do, but many say not that way. That anything you're doing that's obvious. Again, if you're just taking a leisure walk, and you feel it's healthy for you, that's fine. That's like eating the chicken soup. Everyone's taking leisurely walks on Shabbos when the weather permits. So that's fine. You feel you get, that's good for your health, fine. That's good for everybody. Everyone's allowed to do it. But you take rigorous walks where it's clear that you're doing it for health purposes. So again, if you had a condition, a chola, a heart condition, other issues that are really considered a chola, so that could be permissible also. But if you're in a situation where you're a bari, you're a healthy person, you're just doing it to keep it up, so keep it up 6 days a week, but on Shabbos, this would be part of the prohibition of refuah on Shabbos as well. Again, okay, so that is the, and then again, some people take weights, they pick up weights, and again, we're not talking about somebody who just had a stroke and needs to do it. We're talking about some people do it to strengthen themselves, and they take weights and things like that. So again, do it 6 days a week, do it before Shabbos, do it Motzai Shabbos, but not on Shabbos, because again, this is also part of the prohibition of refuah on Shabbos. There are poskim that permit taking a vitamin on Shabbos. That's the opinion of the Beis Yosef that does permit it. So I'm saying many do not, so that's why many hold it's better not to, but to say that it's totally forbidden according to everybody, again, in a situation where you are basically healthy and you don't have any discomfort, the Beis Yosef would say that that's okay, but the Magen Avraham, which seems to be the opinion, as Rav Schechter, Rav Gutman, and others point out, the more common opinion, would prohibit it. But there is an opinion that does permit it. One other point that's interesting to point out, that is, even if an individual is not a chola, but he has severe pain. This is written down by Rav Yaakov Emden, the Mordzi. He has a severe pain, But it's not a sickness. It's not a virus. It's not a cancer. It's not a... there's just pain. He had something that's very, very painful. And he needs... and he has, like Rav Shekhar points out, he can't live... go through the day in a normal way. So Rav Yaakov Emden permits such an individual to take some type of pill that will take away the pain. So there, but as opposed to the case where there's just some discomfort, but he basically is okay, that individual, we don't allow the pill. But the individual who is not even a chola, but there's a lot of pain, for whatever reason there is, not necessarily a chola, but some type of pain, as Rav Shechter points out, but he can't function in a normal way as a result of it, that individual also is permitted to take the pill on Shabbos. Right. Right, that could also be, you know, so sometimes psychological issues are even more, you know, threatening. Sometimes the psychological issues could be much more severe than physical issues. And if it's something that could be precarious, that if an individual won't take it, in other words, you have an individual, like someone was saying, he's ADD, you know, he can't concentrate. Okay, so then the shul is a long davening, you know, and so somebody came to me, oh, can he have the pill because he's... that's okay. He doesn't take the pill for that. In other words, so he'll leave shul a little early, you know, but he has depression or something like that. That's a machala. That's a choli. And that needs to be dealt with. That's a very, very... severe thing, and God forbid if it's not dealt with in the right way, tragedies can ensue. So we have to be very careful in situations of that, and perhaps a Rav who knows the particular case could deal with it. But there could be much more room for leniencies in cases of depression, because depression, as people have pointed out, is a choli. It's not a bari. In other words, since there's a stigma to psychological issues, so people, you know, are afraid to, you know, to discuss it. But that's a chola. In other words, just like there's a chola in a physical chola, a psychological chola is also a chola, and that's something that needs its medication, whatever it may be, and that's. You know, could be leniencies for that as well. But one question that comes up, especially in a young community like we have here, is birth control pills. So birth control pills are permissible to take on Shabbos, and they're permissible to take on Yom Kippur as well, meaning without water. Take the pill. This comes up every year. People ask before Yom Kippur, because as we know, anyone who's on a birth control pill, as one doctor said, put it, it's an unforgivable pill that if you forget it one day, it's going to come to haunt you for many days later. You're going to have staining issues. This is, many poskim say this is not a refuah, even though it's a pill that changes your hormone balance, but if you don't take it on, if you don't take it on Shabbos, you will not. You'll have a lot of problems, and even on Yom Kippur, one has to take the pill again. We're talking about without any water, just swallow the pill, and that would be okay. Number 11 is about Nikoyon HaShinayim b'Shabbos, which is an interesting topic of brushing your teeth on Shabbos, which really has multiple issues discussing brushing your teeth on Shabbos. It's first of all the discussion of putting something and smoothing it on another surface, whether that would... Rav Moshe Feinstein was the opinion that prohibited brushing your teeth on Shabbos, but other poskim, there are many poskim that say that it's permissible to brush your teeth on Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Abadi, others say it's permissible, and as Rav Abadi pointed out, the only isser of smearing something on is something of thick substance. There was a case of the smearing in the Gemara. If you look here in the Shulchan Aruch 11, also litain shavo shem adam minekav achavis l'sosmo. It means they used to have, say, a barrel that had a hole in the barrel, and if you take something and smear it on to stop up the hole, so that's what they were talking about, because that's something of thick composure. But believe me, no one could take toothpaste and stop up a hole with toothpaste. It would not be so. From that perspective, there are many shitas that say, as Rav Abadi pointed out, that it would be okay to use toothpaste on squeezing the tube. Doesn't mean anything. There's no issur in squeezing a tube on Shabbos. You're not allowed to squeeze a lemon. You know, squeezing a tube is like pouring orange juice out of a container. You know, so what? There are, you know, I grew up in the generation, you know, when Rav Moshe Feinstein was alive, and that was the predominant posek in America. So that's where I grew up, and that's what I continue to do. But somebody who would want to follow the other people, there are many respectable poskim that permit, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Abadi, others that permit using regular toothpaste on Shabbos. Yeah, okay, one second. But the only issue that is discussed also is this called a refuah. So, and the Rav Avad Yosef says this is not called a refuah either. It's not called a refuah. You're just getting, even though I have a friend who is a dentist who wrote a whole paper saying that modern dentistry has found that there's some positive medical things besides just getting rid of the dirt on your teeth, the shoshunt, so he gave me this paper that he wrote. This fellow here, who's a dentist, who wants to claim that maybe it is refuah, but we normally don't assume that it's refuah b'shabbos. Even Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was machmir on brushing your teeth on Shabbos, was not machmir because of refuah. He was machmir because of the spreading the toothpaste on, as Rav Schefter pointed out, on the tooth, and therefore. Yeah, so that would be so taking the and here we have something mishum reyach apeh. If you're doing something for the, because you have a bad breath, reyach apeh. So the Shulchan Aruch says that also, because that's not considered a might not be considered a refuah either. But say number 13, you look for a second on page 5, Gemiyah Beitz Achai B'Shabbos. People used to do this, they say Chazonim would do this, they would swallow a hard-boiled egg on Shabbos so their voice should project. I'm not a professional Chazon, but a raw egg. So the Shulchan Aruch speaks about this, and it says that it's permissible, that you can do that on Shabbos if you're the chazan, especially your chazan in a big shul. They expect your voice to boom, and so. What? Yeah. Okay. So these things, even though most people don't do it, you know, most people who are well people don't necessarily do this, but some people need to do it for their voice. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's not called refuah. Yeah. Okay. So hand cream is also a very important point. So if it's a hand cream that like Vaseline and things like that, so like in this time of the winter, my hands start chapping. So there are some poskim that think that there would be a problem of mereach spreading. But others say, like Rav Abadi said, that if you hold that the standard is something that's very thick, that you could possibly even take it and put it on a barrel to close up a hole, the hand cream is not thick enough to do that. So, as Rav Abadi pointed out, the only issue, therefore, would be refuah b'shabbos. Refuah b'shabbos. So, therefore, the main reason why we don't allow the hand creams, as Rav Abadi pointed out, on Shabbos, is because it would be very nice if I could put the cream on Shabbos also. You know, but I'm functional, you know, even though my hands chap a lot in the winter, so we don't, as Rav Abadi pointed out, we don't do that because of refuah b'Shabbos. But in the situation of a little baby, a katan, little children, we consider them cholim. They're always cholim. Little children are always cholim. And therefore, so to shmir for a little child, if one holds that the shmiring part is not a problem, it's just the refuah part, as Rav Abadi pointed out, then it would be permissible to put that cream on for the baby that he needs ointment or something like that. Some say do it machinoi, but for an adult, as Rav Abadi pointed out, to put chapstick or cream on your hand or on your lips, as Rav Abadi pointed out, that would be osur mishum refuah b'Shabbos. So therefore, we don't put chapstick on Shabbos. We don't put creams on Shabbos. And again, normally the cases where you need chapstick or you need creams, you're not a chole, right? It's just discomfort. You know, you're starting to get very dry, and your skin is dry, and as Rav Abadi pointed out, those things would be osur mishum refuah b'Shabbos. Makeup is a whole different shear. That's the issur of solveya b'Shabbos, and that requires so you invite me back a different time, and we could have a different shear on makeup on Shabbos. But makeup is not part of the refuah. For most people, it's not refuah. Maybe some people it is refuah, but for most people, makeup is not refuah. Yeah, number 12 is about an individual who has who's a cold or need of an enema on Shabbos, and so the basic shot is that if it's something that you have some type of medical, as the Marsham says, some type of medicine inside that you put, so that would be part of refuah b'Shabbos, unless it's a situation where there's a lot of pain or some type of choli or things like that. Like Post can point out, if it's a refuah that you need, like Rav Shechter pointed out from Yom Zolba, you need to take it for 10 days in a row. And if you don't take it for 10 days in a row, it won't have any effect. So then, Rav Shechter said from Yom Zilber, that would be okay. Because there's no such a thing, a situation where the halacha will not let you get out of it. The halacha can say, don't do it on Shabbos, do it on Sunday. But if there's no option, because you have to, as Rav Shechter pointed out from Rav Ben Yamin Zilber, you have to take it 10 days in a row, and if you don't, you won't have, even in situations where it's not necessarily chola, there are poskim that permit it in certain, but again, you would have this. Yeah. So eye drops also, unless there's certain eye condition that's a choli, but you just take eye drops. Some posts can permit some of these things like drops if you really need it to get a non-Jew to put it in for you. But the eye drops, again, if you have an eye condition that could be a choli of the real, you have some real condition, but you're just doing it because you like to lubricate your eyes or whatever it is. Yeah, again, if it's not a choli, if it's just something that just makes you feel more comfortable, but it's not a choli, then it will be prohibited on Shabbos. Yeah, even if you take it on a daily basis, but you really don't need to take it every day. It's not going to, in other words, if you'll skip a day, it'll be fine but for whatever you're trying to accomplish. They're poskim that you should not use it on Shabbos. Yeah, so that we have to speak about more, whether something that's l'reach hapeh. In other words, it's just you have a bad. So some say that all it does is it just camouflages the. In other words, it doesn't. It's not a cure. It's something that. In other words, that's on number five, the first line in number five. You take something l'reach hapeh. If you're taking it for that you have bad breath, so the assumption in this halacha is that the thing that you're taking just camouflages the bad. It doesn't really do any. You're not really doing anything to solve the issue. You're just putting something that has stronger potency than the breath that will camouflage the. But if it's something that will actually change, you know, something inside of you, and therefore, but if it's just camouflaging, so that's not called a refuah. Again, toothpaste is something that Rav Moshe prohibited, but as I told you, there are many respectable opinions that it would be okay if, and the point for our shear is that it wouldn't be under the prohibition of refuah. Okay, we're over our time now. So I think this is a very eye-opening discussion here of halachas of Shabbos, and I think, as I said before, this halacha defines in a certain way what we, you know, Orthodox Jewry, that we believe that halacha, even though the reasons don't necessarily apply anymore, because again, who's going to go? The whole thing is about, therefore, you're going to make herbs on Shabbos. No one's going to exercise and therefore make herbs. No one's going to take a pill and therefore make herbs. But that's the concept, as Rav Chaim Noah writes, Rav Schechter explains, that's the Dover Shebe Minyan that Chachamim instituted, just like they instituted, as Rav Schechter pointed out, Yontif Sheni, and it doesn't just fall away unless one day the Sanhedrin, B'mheira B'yameinu, with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash comes and repeals the Tachana, but we're not up to that stage in Jewish history yet. B'mheira B'yameinu, we should be Zocha for this, and then halachas could change and conform with the time. But the concept of, you know, of other branches of Judaism that we have to just go with the times on our own volition, that Orthodoxy does not accept. And that, I think, this discussion is a prime example of how Orthodoxy veers from other branches in the what is considered changeable in halacha and what's not changeable.